there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Friday, September 5, 2014. Last week, the publication Foreign Policy reported that a laptop was discovered in Syria that once belonged to an ISIS jihadist who is a student in a Tunisian university studying chemistry and physics. The laptop contained hidden files revealing that ISIS is actively seeking to acquire and use biological weapons against the West. The bubonic plague was specifically mentioned as the preferred germ to weaponize. Now, weeks before, I should say months before, the Foreign Policy News article about ISIS and the bubonic plague hit the news, Iranian-born filmmaker Bahman Nasiri issued an online warning that his sources informed him that the West would be hit soon with a bubonic plague biological attack. I read Mr. Nasiri's posting online, but decided to pass on interviewing him about it. But when the Foreign Policy article made international news headlines last week, I reconsidered, and I asked Mr. Nasiri to come back to True News and tell us what his source told him. Bahman Nasiri is the producer of the movie The Golden Veil. Bahman, welcome back to True News.
Thank you for having me on your show for the second time, Mr. Wiles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mentioned some months ago that I was not accepting any more interviews, but you are an exception, and I'm honored to be on your show today.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate that. Bahman, we have a gigantic new audience listening right now who have joined us since the last time you were on this program. I'm quite amazed and humbled by how fast this audience is growing in 2014. And so for the benefit of the new listeners, let's just take a few minutes and recap who you are and your involvement in certain secret societies and what you know about who and what is the shadow government that's running the West. So take a few minutes and introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, my name is Bahman Nasiri. I'm an Iranian exile. Lucky enough to live in the United States since 1991. Mr. Wiles, if I remember correctly, it was in May 2013 that I appeared on your show, and a lot has been happening since then, according to my scenario. To go through it all from beginning, where I get all the information from and all this, I would need a two-hour interview, but
right.
This interview, I understand, will mm-hmm. be only for half an hour. But first, let me give you some good news. Following a report that was published about me on henrymacau.com, finally the authorities contacted me, and they actually drove down for 3 hours to hold a meeting with me. I explained to them what the plan is. At first, they thought that I was just a conspiracy theorist seeking fame. But having studied my track record and after 2 hours of discussions, I believe they are now taking the threat seriously. And if such threat becomes widely known as expected, this may serve to prevent it from happening. At least that's what I'm hoping for. You know, Mr. Wiles, first they call you a conspiracy theorist and not take you seriously, but when things happen the way you predicted, they all want to talk to you.
That's right.
In your last interview with me, I released details of what I knew, backed with documents which I possess. But in this interview, I would like to follow up on the things I said.
Go ahead.
Before I begin, I have to say that I have already said too much, and I would have been dead by now if it wasn't because of the fear of my book, The Golden Mask, which will be released upon my death. And that is the only thing that's keeping me alive. If the information that I have released serves to keep the gates of hell locked for a while longer, then my coming here will not be considered as a waste. I would also like to advise citizens to liquidate any investments they may have in the stock market before the coming Obama crash. And I would like to add, this will be my last appearance, mainly because I do not wish for my YouTube channel or Facebook page to get shut down. I strongly advise other YouTube channels to download my videos and upload them on their own channels.
If you could tell our audience, so you spent in the last interview last May, you told us about that you believe that there is a group of powerful individuals in America who compose the shadow government, who control Washington. I mean, we all know that the people don't control Washington. Somebody controls it. Something controls it because they don't care what the people think. Somebody's clearly telling Washington what to do. And the debate is, who is it? What is it? What is the shadow government? You said that there's a group called the Eagles.
Yes.
And you're not talking about the fraternal society, the Eagles, which have clubs around the country like the Moose and the Elks. You're talking about a super secret, very small number of people who go by the name the Eagles. How many people are in this group?
Less than 1,000. The most powerful families in the world. And they are not just only American.
Okay, so it is international.
Yes.
And how long has this group been in existence? Do you know?
I don't know exactly, but a long, long time.
Generations?
Yes.
All right. And essentially, are they controlling the West? You know, besides the United States, are they controlling the Western nations?
They control the world.
The world.
Yes.
All right. So that includes China and Russia?
Yes.
All right. Now, also, Bob, and you, in your last interview, you had told us that you had just recently had become a believer in Jesus Christ. Again, you said this was May 2013. Approximately how long have you been a Christian?
I have been a Christian for less than a year now. And since I became Christian, my life turned around.
All right.
For the better.
That's good.
And
now,
I will explain about this a little bit later in this interview if we have minutes more.
Now, are you still a 32nd degree Freemason?
I was until 2 months ago that I received a letter that my name has been crossed out.
So you've been booted out of the Freemasonry Society?
Yes.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that.
And the reason for it was because of holding these interviews in the past year.
All right. Well, as a minister of the gospel, I would advise you to verbally renounce before God all of the Freemason oaths that you took and ask God to sever those oaths and then be totally set free. So I will move on. But you were you were a 32nd degree Freemason in the Scottish Rite. Is that correct?
Yes. 40 years of my life. I was initiated at the age of 21 in Iran into Freemasonry, and I was the youngest Freemason in that country. And after 40 years, I've been kicked out.
All right. That's good. That's good. That's the Lord working in your life.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about this threat that you claim to know about involving biological warfare. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, if you remember, Mr. Wiles, in the last interview, I did explain the reason for everything that you see happening. And I went into details that the main reason is to create a big enemy before the breakout of World War III. And the big enemy that I was talking about a year ago has now been created.
ISIS.
And this time it is called ISIS, to drag America into another war.
When you say this time it's called ISIS, the impression I get is that you believe that these entities are being manufactured, being
exactly.
created for a specific purpose.
Yes, exactly.
So Al-Qaeda wasn't bloody enough for the secret society, the secret shadow government. They needed something bloodier, something that would shock the world more than Al-Qaeda, so they created ISIS.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. If the beheading of James Foley and Stephen Sotloff were not enough to terrorize Americans, a massive chemical or biological terrorist act may take place on American soil in the near future, as I said some months ago. And where did my information come from? From a source in Iran, actually. The puppet masters, Mr. Wiles, are in full control of the show. Everything you see happening today is according to the big plan, as explained in my 2013 interview. That is why it is so important for listeners to make sure to watch that program by visiting my YouTube channel. And that's very easy. Type my name in YouTube and click on the yellow rose. Let me spell my name, Bahman Nasiri, B-A-H-M-A-N, Nasiri, N-A-S-S-I-R-I. Type this name in YouTube and everything will pop up. If enough people know what is going on, it may serve to make a difference and destroy the demon's plan. The video of this interview will be posted on my YouTube channel within the next few days, and I ask all your listeners to forward the link to all their friends and family and make it go viral. We want all Americans to hear what I have to say.
Bahman, what were you told by your Iranian source?
That information is very sensitive, and I have to be careful now on this show not to release too much. Believe me, it will be for the benefit of everyone.
Is that because the feds visited you? Are you being told not to talk about this now?
I'm not supposed to talk about the details. What happened was that after that article that was written about me by Henry Macau, the LAPD anti-terrorist department got in touch with me, and they drove down to Palm Springs to visit me. And I have told them everything I know, and I am hoping that the information will help prevent the biggest disaster that could happen in this country.
Obama, what are you able to tell us?
What am I able to tell you is, let me continue, and at the end of what I say, if you wish to ask me any more questions.
Well, because we've only got 7 minutes remaining, so what can you tell us about this plot to use biological warfare on us?
You would only like to know about the biological warfare. Well, the reason would be to terrorize America and go to war, basically. That's it.
All right. And did your source tell you that it would be bubonic plague?
My source, all my source said was that the next attack will be biological or chemical.
Any hint on how soon the attack would come?
Well, no exact time was mentioned, but the source says that it will be soon.
Because, you know, we're days away from the anniversary of 9/11.
Well, it may happen by then. It may happen later. I don't know an exact time.
Mm-hmm.
But people have to be cautious.
One reason this got my attention, Bauman, is because several months ago, another guest who goes by the moniker V, because he's unable to use his full name, he is a Wall Street trader. He was told by a four-star general that the shadow government was going to release bubonic plague in the United States sometime next year. And this general was so alarmed by the plans that he reportedly retired from the U.S. military and moved, he and his wife, to South America to get away from these Nazi-like plans. So this keeps popping up in the past 2 months. This talk of a biological attack using bubonic plague, it keeps recurring. You know, then we saw it last week in the Foreign Policy magazine, and of course they found a computer. I wonder if the laptop was in a cave. You know, I mean, we were told that story for years about Al Qaeda. You know, Osama bin Laden in a cave. You know, I always wondered, how did he get internet? How did he run his worldwide empire from a cave? But anyhow, that's the way the story went. You know, we were supposed to believe the story. He was in a cave. And so now they found a laptop, and it had biological warfare plans and this bubonic plague. And I'm just watching the story. You know, it's like reading a novel. We're watching it unfold. Like we've already read this book once or twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, if I'm reading you right, you're saying that the shadow government is who is planning this bubonic plague attack.
Well, exactly.
And what is the purpose of it? Simply to drive us into war?
Into another war, yes. Yes, the big plan. The big plan is this is all prelude to World War III, Mr. Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow me, how long have we got?
I can stretch it 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Let me just quickly go through a few things. You know, I can't remember if it was in your interview or the Hagman's that I expressed my concern about Saudi Arabia, not knowing what role it would play in all this. Well, it's interesting that it's behind the rise of ISIS. Some say ISIS is the creation of the Zionists. Others think ISIS are Sunni imposters and Saudi CIA shells. and there are many other theories. Now, I was going to ask your opinion, what you think, but if you don't have enough time now...
No, I want you to talk. You talk. Go ahead.
Okay. All these groups, from Al-Qaeda to ISIS and others, are offshoots of the same secret brotherhood I mentioned in my interview, and controlled by the higher power, as I explained. Now, the best way to understand what the higher power is to see my feature film, The Golden Veil, and to watch my 2013 interviews. As you know, a year ago I converted, you know, from Islam to Christianity. Why? Because Islam today is not the peaceful Islam that it was supposed to be as an extension of Christianity. Islam has been penetrated by non-Muslims in disguise who plan to destroy that religion. Their plan also aims to force different Muslim factions to fight amongst each other. ISIS has been created by the demons to destroy Islam. This is not what Islam is all about. I have an English translation of the Quran in my hand right now that is dated 1801, and I'd like to read a short section of it, if I may. It goes on to say, in several places of the Quran, which were revealed during his stay at Mecca, Muhammad declared his business was only to preach and admonish, that he had no authority to force any person to embrace his religion, and that whether people believed or not was none of his concern, but belonged solely unto God. And he was so far from allowing his followers to use force that he exhorted them to bear patiently those injuries which were offered them on account of their faith, and when persecuted himself, chose rather to quit the place of his birth and retire to Medina than to make any resistance, with great passiveness and moderation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the true Islam, a religion against war, that is portrayed by the enemies of Islam, call them ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or the Islamic Republic of Iran, what you may.
Mohammed, are you saying that the Quran has been rewritten?
Yes, of course it has been. Of course it has been. You know, Mr. Wiles, now that we have concluded there is a conspiracy going on, we have to decide what will be the final outcome.
All right. I want to throw something at you because, again, I can only go like another 2 minutes. In the 1870s, Albert Pike, the man who developed the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
Yes.
You know who Albert Pike is.
Of course.
All right. There is a letter that reportedly he wrote in 1871, in which he described...
Yes, to an Italian revolutionary by the name of Mazzini. I know well about this.
Is that letter authentic?
Yes.
All right,
he describes
three world wars. This is 1871. And now he describes World War I, World War II, and World War III as a war between the Jews and the Muslims, and the war is so horrific that it brings about a complete collapse of Christianity in the world, and then the Masonic religion rises up. Is that basically what the letter says?
It does. And you see, there are two scenarios now. The first scenario is, according to Albert Pike's writings, for the breakout of World War III, in which Muslims and Jews will wipe each other out. The second scenario is mine, which I will try to explain, to say it in 1 minute. And it goes as follows. This will be in two stages also. Stage one, over the next few years, ISIS will take over the Middle East and stage war against the Shiite sect of Islam. I ask Iranians to rise up and oust the Islamic regime in Iran. Failure to do so will result in killings of millions of young Iranians being forced into a bloody war of religion within the same religion. And then in stage two, ISIS will attack Israel and perform horrific terrorist acts on U.S. and British soil. And this will result in continuous state of global war as 580 million Muslims in Africa, 180 million in India, 140 million in Pakistan, 25 million in China, 17 million in Russia, 4 million in Germany, 3 million in Britain, 2 million in France, and 1.6 billion worldwide will rise up in a holy jihad.
How long until we get to stage two?
A few years away. This will be a long war. This is what I talked about in my past interviews. It's not going to be a little war like the overthrow of Saddam Hussein in 2 or 3 days. This is going to take years.
But the game plan is ISIS will control the entire Middle East.
Initially. But in the end, they will all be crushed.
Crushed by who?
By the superpowers. So by the United States. But in the end, we will be glorious.
So are you saying that the shadow government has created ISIS for its purpose, will use ISIS to devour the Middle East, and then in the end destroy it?
Yes, completely wipe them out, and
if it goes according to the plan.
This is all according to the plan, and then in the end they will install puppet governments and a new beginning, a new world order. End time is near, Mr. Wiles, and may Christ save us all.
Amen. Well, let that be the last word. My guest, filmmaker Bahman Nasseri. The film is The Golden Veil. Bahman, thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Mr. Wiles. And I have one more sentence.
Yes, sir.
My last message to all listeners is shoot your TV and just watch the news on truenews.com.
There you go. I couldn't get a better endorsement. Thank you, Bahman. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Nasseri was tight-lipped about the information he says was passed to him from an Iranian source. I just couldn't get him to open up and talk. Well, that's the way it is on talk radio. Well, at least the Freemasons kicked him out of the lodge. That's a good thing. When I return, my guest will be Mr. Mark Davison. He's the author of Daniel Revisited. He says a lot of Bible prophecy teachers misinterpreted Daniel's prophecies about the last days. Well, I agree with that statement. Let's see what Mark has to say about it. This is True News, the End Time Newscast.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
September is radio month here at True News, and we need to hear from you. All through the month of September, we are encouraging our listeners to write us and let us know how and when you listen to the broadcast. Whether you listen to the program online, on the new mobile app, on shortwave, or on your local station, we encourage you to drop us a line and please let us know. Our ministry uses this information to make important decisions regarding future broadcast investments. Please write us at True News, P.O. Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida, 32969. You may also communicate with us by email at info@truenews.com. When you write, it is very important to mention the call letters, frequency, or website of how and when you listen. Please also let us know how the program has been a blessing in your life. Thanks for listening, and thank you for participating in Radio Month here at True News.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. I'm Rick Wiles. If you're a new listener, we would like to hear from you. Please tell us how you found us, where you live, and how you listen to us. Do you listen on your PC or laptop, a tablet, smartphone, AM or FM broadcast radio, or international shortwave radio? Send your email to info@truenews.com, true without an E, TRUNEWS, info@truenews.com. Letters may be mailed to Post Office Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida. The zip is 32969. And if you'd like to call our office, dial 772-569-8880. We answer the phones between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you call after hours, just leave a message and a phone number, the best time to call you back. Last week, I announced that I would end the all-news format in the next 30 to 60 days. I want to emphasize to you that I am not going off the air. We are changing the format and expanding to 2 hours. The new format will include a brief update on that day's top headlines, but the focus of the program will be drawing us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not analyzing the world events. World affairs are rapidly deteriorating. We are dangerously approaching World War III. More news is not going to help you. More of Jesus will be your only hope. I've been a watchman on the wall since God called me out of TBN in 1998. Being a watchman is like being a spiritual weatherman. You are constantly monitoring atmospheric conditions, looking for signs of a storm. Over 16 years, I've seen storm clouds build up only to dissipate and things settle down in the world for a span of time. For example, I've lost track of how many times tensions with Iran heated up to a red-hot level, but quickly subsided and no war erupted. When you watch a weather forecaster on TV, you're counting on him or her to give you an accurate analysis of the present weather conditions and his or her best prediction of what will happen if those conditions continue. Sometimes storms go around us, or atmospheric conditions change and the threat of a violent storm subsides. The weather forecaster doesn't have any control over it. His or her responsibility is simply to give you the most accurate forecast possible based on present conditions. As a watchman, a spiritual weatherman, I'm telling you that I have never seen spiritual, political, economic, social, and natural conditions coalesce as they are presently combining. It is the perfect storm. And unless God intervenes, the perfect storm is going to arrive very soon. If you live in an area that is prone to tornadoes or hurricanes, you most likely have watched a local television weather forecaster bravely stand outside reporting on the strength and the path of the storm. At some point, however, even the bravest and most dedicated weather forecaster goes inside and takes shelter as the storm moves closer. That's what I'm doing. Father says it's time to go inside the storm cellar and ride out the storm. If, and I underline if we survive it, we'll reemerge from the shelter and deal with the destruction around us. Life will go on. Prophetically, I think there's a lot of things that must happen before Jesus returns. I have a long-range view. I don't make plans based on predictions about prophetic events. Jesus told us to occupy until he comes. He commanded us to go into all the nations and make disciples of all men and women, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to cast out devils and to heal the sick. That's what drives me. There are billions of lost souls on this planet who need to hear the glorious gospel of the kingdom of God. How prophecies are fulfilled and when Jesus returns are our Father's prerogative. He is sovereign, and he doesn't need human beings to tell him how and when to fulfill the things he decided would happen before the universe was created. My view of prophecies is that they are akin to highway signs. When I'm driving on an interstate highway that I know I will be on the same road for 500 miles, I don't have to pay attention to highway signs until I start getting close to the exit I need to take to get to my desired destination. When I notice signs indicating my exit is within 50 miles or less, I perk up, start paying close attention to the signs. The closer I get to the exit, the more signs appear informing me that I'm quickly approaching the exit. And if I don't pay attention to the signs, I'll miss the exit. My guest today says he has identified four signposts that are sets of events which will occur one after another prior to the return of Jesus. He put the four signposts in a book titled Daniel Revisited. The author is Mr. Mark Davison. His website is 4signposts.com. This is my first time to talk with Mark. Mark, welcome to True News.
Thank you, Rick. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Mark, things are getting very strange in the world.
Yes, they are. My message is of the book, Daniel Revisited, is very different from anything we've seen before, and in that we are told that nothing prophetic is going to happen between now and the tribulation or now and the rapture, and that's just not true. God had said at the end of Daniel that Daniel is to be sealed until the end times, and just like you were mentioning about the signs along the freeway, that you don't start really paying attention until it's time to exit, getting close to exit, like within 50 miles. And so, too, Daniel's been sealed all this time, and basically all our best theologians have just been giving guesses and presumptions and mistakes.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
No disrespect to those men, great theologians,
absolutely.
Great students of the Bible, but books that were written about Daniel decades or a century ago simply aren't accurate because the book was sealed.
Correct, correct. And now that we've been given the benefit of hindsight and seeing historical information and actual documentation from historical scholars of both ancient and medieval history of Islamic and Roman empires, once you understand that history, Daniel opens right up. And we see four sets of events, four major signposts occurring prior to the tribulation.
Let me ask you, before we go into those four signposts,
mm-hmm.
in your opinion, where have past prophetic writers, I'm talking about students of prophecy, where did they miss it regarding Daniel?
Well, the first one was assuming that the Antichrist is going to be Roman or coming out of Europe. I believed in that, too, up to about 2001, when I stumbled across this new interpretation, this new theory. And by believing that the Antichrist is Roman or European, it clouds our view. It puts the scales over our eyes. We cannot read Daniel 7 about the four beasts, and we cannot read about Daniel 8, the ram and the goat, correctly. We assume they were ancient fulfillments, even though those chapters, such as in 8:17 and 8:19, and in 7:17, they both say directly that they are to be fulfilled in the end times. But our assumptions blocked those verses.
Mark, do you discount the long-held view in the American evangelical church world of the last 50 years that there will be a revived Roman Empire?
Yes, I reject that.
Good. Okay, we're off to a good start so far. All right.
Yes. The key verses for this whole Roman versus Islamic Antichrist issue is Daniel 2:40, where it says in Daniel that the empire of iron must crush all the other empires in that statue, all the past ones, Babylon, Persia, and Greece, just as iron crushes all those metals. And if you look at your history, and in my book I take the reader by the hand, I take them at the high school level. There's a lot of concepts to cover, but I don't use big words, and I cover it completely but simply, is that once you understand that history, you'll see that Islam is the only candidate to have crushed, to have pulverized the other three kingdoms. Rome didn't do any of them, and there are various reasons why. And then the other verse, 9:26, it mentions the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the prince, the ruler who will come being the Antichrist, people say, well, the people who destroyed the temple were the Romans, Roman soldiers. But again, there's a little bit more you have to look at there. It turns out that four legions destroyed Jerusalem, one of them the 10th legion. And the 10th legion was based in Syria for 70 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. And it is a well-known fact among historians of Rome that wherever a legion was based, every 20 years, it would take the recruits from the province, from the natives living in the province. So therefore, when the 10th Legion was down there at Jerusalem burning the temple, they weren't Romans. In fact, back in 14 AD, Augustus made a decree that no Roman citizen south of the Po River, the entire Italian peninsula, would ever serve in the army unless, you know, they wanted to. So we had Syrians dressed as Roman soldiers. You know, they were Roman soldiers. They were in Roman uniform under a Roman standard under Rome, but they were Syrians. And that word for people, am, can mean political or ethnic. And we have an example in the Bible where Paul mentions he's a Roman citizen, but he's also a Jew. How can you be both? Well, these soldiers were both as well. They were Syrian ethnic background with a Roman citizenry under a Roman standard. And today, those legions, one was Syrian, the auxiliaries were Arabian and Egyptian, and another legion was Egyptian. They're all Arab, and they are all Muslim today. So therefore, the Antichrist to come from those people, the Antichrist will have to be Syrian or Arabian or Egyptian, and he will have to be Muslim.
Well, that, I think, leads us to the next question regarding Islam's role in the last days. Does Islam play a major role?
Absolutely. Islam plays the major role. We've always viewed Islam as a kind of a sideshow, you know, where it would be tricked by Russia or tricked by Europe or used as pawns. But no, that's not true. Europe and Russia will have a backseat role, and Islam is the main player. In fact, there are many themes in the Bible I go to in the third chapter of my book where I show how Islam is just is very related to the Antichrist, very related to things that God talked about.
Mark, the Bible tells us that the saints will be beheaded in the last days. And I've often wondered, you know, how's that going to happen? Who's going to be beheading people? It's happening in front of us. Christians are being beheaded
Saudi Arabia,
right now
with ISIS. Yes, it's happening right in front of us.
Is this type of savage, barbaric behavior going to spread worldwide?
Well, it's going to spread with Islam wherever Islam is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are we going to see beheadings in Europe, in Canada, in Australia, in the United States?
Well, I have reason to believe that yes, we will in Europe, but I don't think it'll spread to the Western Hemisphere.
Why is that?
Well, because of Revelation, where it talks about going from a quarter of the world's... In fact, there's a lot of reasons here, but it's going from the horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6. They open up each of the four signposts. The white horseman, the first horseman on the white horse, he opens up the first beast, the lion with wings, and I show why, and it happens down the line, second, third, and fourth. And it says in Revelation 6 that these four horsemen were given authority over a quarter of the earth to kill, to allow to kill. And Islam is a quarter of the earth today. It has a quarter of the sovereign nations, a quarter of the people, and a quarter of the inhabited world area. And in Revelation further on, we see about how the wrath is poured out on the kingdom of the Antichrist and how it's a third of the world. So if you include Europe and much of Africa and some of Southeast Asia, areas where Islam is already advancing, you will see a third of the world. But I do believe that nations like India, China, Russia will stand as a bulwark against the Antichrist kingdom. We are told in Revelation that an army of 200 million men under the kings of the East comes to the West. And we're told in Daniel that the Antichrist hears troubling news from the east and goes out in a great rage to slay many. So this kingdom of the Antichrist, I believe, will only spread to a third of the earth.
Are those 200 million human beings, or are they spiritual creatures?
The Bible is fuzzy on that. Yeah.
So we don't know that they're... We can't really say it's 200 million soldiers from a country.
Right. However, in tandem with Daniel chapter 11... where he says he hears troubling news from the east and goes out, and this is after he's already surrounded Jerusalem, then you couple that with the 200 million troops that it talks about.
Mm-hmm.
It may very well be demonic. It may very well be human. We will see it when we'll know it when we see it. And the thing about prophecy, like the seven seals in Revelation 6, where the Lamb is unsealing them. We can only see what's happening right there, and we can only guess. We can guess fairly well what the next one or two may be, but as far as further out, it's very fuzzy. We have to wait for it to be unsealed.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that the scroll, I show that the scroll that the Lamb is holding in Revelation 5 and 6 is or are the prophecies of Daniel. It is the book of Daniel being unsealed one by one, and that the first four seals are the four beasts in Daniel 7. And that Daniel 8, the ram and the goat, the events that occur with them, just provide the details to this outline that's in Daniel 7. It's really a remarkable picture. History shows that it's true, and current events prove it. The things going on, like with Saddam Hussein and the democratization of Iraq, were a perfect fulfillment of this first event, both in Revelation 6 and in Daniel 7. And now the second event, the second signpost about to come, is the invasion by Iran. And this invasion by Iran of the entire Middle East, and of course you can see how both the regime is headed that way, their military forces are headed that way, their whole ideology, which is to use Iran to spread chaos so that the Mahdi, the Islamic Mahdi, appears, which is our Antichrist. They're completely geared towards it.
Mark, who's behind ISIS?
Who's behind ISIS?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just Sunni insurgents. I don't believe there's any, you know, like Turkey might be behind it. I've heard rumors like that. I don't know, and it doesn't matter because people, I've seen other articles talk about how, oh, there's no power in the Middle East that can defeat ISIS. And to that I say that's wrong, because the Bible is telling us that Iran is going to run out and completely smash everything. They're going to go down into the Arabian Peninsula. They're going to go west towards the Mediterranean Sea. They're going to go north into eastern Turkey and Azerbaijan. And because of the size of their forces, do you remember the Iran-Iraq war, how you had hundreds of thousands of young Iranians just flowing over the border, overwhelming mm-hmm. Saddam's forces? And it was only because Saddam's forces were well-equipped and the sixth largest in the world that they were able to contain Iran. Well, we don't have that today, but we will see again this overwhelming of Basij, young Iranian Shia militants.
What scripture do you cite as the proof that Iran is going to move throughout the Middle East?
Well, we have, both in Daniel 7, the bear. The bear is told to get up and eat much flesh. Now, there's not much time here to discuss all the details, mm-hmm. but the creatures, the lion, the bear, the leopard in Daniel 7, they are given the way they are because of their behavior in nature. And bears ravage. They go from place to place to place to place, ravaging and eating. That's their behavior. And that's what Iran is going to be. In Daniel 8, though, the parallel event is the ram standing by Susa, standing by the citadel in Susa, where one horn is long, and horns always represent power. The longer they are, the more powerful they are, the more absolute their power. The first horn is the office of the supreme leader. The second horn that grew up longer later, and it's already grown up longer later, and analysts and experts in Iran are wondering who is stronger, the supreme leader or the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. It says here, one of the horns was longer than the other but grew up later. I watched the ram as he charged toward the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand against him, and none could rescue from his power. I get this all the time where I'm told that the United States would never allow Iran to invade the Middle East. But here it says, God's word says, no animal could stand against it, and none could rescue.
You believe that Iran is the ram?
Yes. Further down it says that the ram is the ram of the two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And kings today would be leaders. And the other thing is that in ancient times you never saw two kings of Persia riding out at the same time to the west towards Greece. It was always one king. You never had two kings. We assume, I mean, for instance, the goat has a prominent horn, one king. It divides into four. Four kings. We're good with that. But when it comes to the two kings of the ram, we always say, well, that's, you know, the Medes came first and then the Persians came later and they're higher. But no, if you have a consistent interpretation of Daniel 8, those two horns have to stand for two men. They have to stand for two offices simultaneously leading out. And what experts of Iran have said is the supreme leader needs the IRGC commanders and the whole force to stay in power. If it wasn't for the IRGC, the supreme leader would be booted out in a moment. 80% of the Iranian population hates their government.
All right, Mark, I've got 1 minute, and we'll have you back. We'll have you back, and we'll continue this conversation. Based on your analysis, what is the next thing that's going to happen?
The invasion by Iran. And we're not given times, we're given signs. Jesus said to watch, to watch these signs, and that's the next thing to happen.
So are you saying Iran is going to be compelled by the – Iran is Shia, and
mm-hmm.
And yeah. ISIS is Sunni.
Yeah.
Are you saying that this ISIS invasion is going to drive Iran to invade the rest of the Middle East, to repel the ISIS-Sunni invasion?
Well, we're not told what the trigger is in the Bible. We're told to watch.
But what do you think?
I do think this ISIS is the last act prior to the invasion, yes.
There has to be something that motivates Iran to do this.
Yes. And it's their ideology.
And so we have this clash between Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims.
Yes.
And this is going to be a bloody death duel between these two factions.
It'll be like World War I in coverage, the number of nations involved. And it is a great Sunni-Shia war. The second signpost, Iran invading, is the first part. The second part is Turkey, Egypt, and two other nations banding together, forming a confederacy and coming back to invade and destroy Iran. That's a great Sunni-Shia war, almost like a world war unto itself. And it started in Syria at the Arab Spring with a Sunni-Shia conflict there, and it escalated to where ISIS took that Sunni-Shia conflict and brought it right to Iran's front door. This is why I believe that if there's any trigger for Iran to run out, it's going to be this one.
All right. The book is Daniel Revisited. The author is Mark Davison. The website is 4signposts.com. Mark, we'll have you back on. I want to continue this conversation. Enjoyed talking with you.
All right.
Okay, in the remaining minutes of today's program, I want to give you three announcements. First, I will be in Indianapolis, Indiana on Tuesday to attend a meeting regarding an important project that we're launching. And then Tuesday night, I will meet and greet True News listeners at the Westin Hotel in downtown Indianapolis near the convention center. We'll meet from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Capital One room. Now, that's not the credit card company, but you can bring your Capital One card if you want to make a donation. The Capital Room is divided into several sections. We have room number one. Now, there won't be any food. We're not serving dinner, but there will be coffee and soft drinks available. No admission fee. Bring your questions. The Westin Hotel is located at 50 South Capitol Avenue next to the Convention Center, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. Number two, we arranged for a webinar with an international precious metals vaulting company, Anglo Far East, AFE. Offers various offshore solutions for precious metals acquisition, logistics, custody, and liquidation to both private and corporate clients. Now, the company is not paying us. We asked them to do this webinar for you. As a custodial company, AFE can assist you in transporting, vaulting, and liquidating precious metals that you presently own. Your precious metals must have a current value of $100,000 or more. Now, the second option is to open an account with AFE with $50,000 cash or more, and that will give you fractional proportional ownership of good delivery gold bars. AFE doesn't own the bars. The customers own the bars. That's the way I understand it, but we're going to get the details at the webinar. Now, you can cash out a portion or all of the holdings at any time and have the money wired to a bank account in your country or another country, and I assume in any currency that you so desire. The webinar will be Tuesday, September 16 at 7 p.m. Eastern. All of the details will be given during that webinar, and you, the participant, can ask questions. There's a banner atop TrueNews.com. Click it, and it will take you to the registration page. The webinar can accommodate 1,000 participants. And as of right now, several hundred True News listeners have already registered. So go ahead and get signed up. And I think this will provide a viable option for many of you who have asked me personally, how do you move gold and silver out of this country and store it safely in another country? You're going to hear it on that webinar. As I said, also option number two is you can open up an account with cash and actually have ownership of gold bars that are stored in vaults around the world, and you can cash out at any time. Again, this will all be described at a webinar on Tuesday, September 16 at 7 p.m. You need to register. The banner is at the top of TrueNews.com. It's absolutely free. We're not making any money on this. This is a service to you. And I hope it answers questions for many of you who have been contacting me and trying to get some advice. Number three, True News will launch this coming Monday on Life FM Radio Network. They have 16 radio stations. True News will be heard every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Central. The stations cover regions around Pensacola, Florida, Indianapolis, Indiana, Athens, Georgia, Branson, Missouri, Asheville, North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. We'll post all 16 radio stations on TrueNews.com on Monday. And you can check out our radio page, our radio affiliate page, and see how the list is growing. God is giving increase to True News, and we are humbled by what the Holy Spirit is doing. I know we're going into a critical hour, and the Lord is increasing the reach of this radio program. And listen, I'm not going off the air. I know many of you are concerned that I'm going off the air. We're simply making changes in the format and how we're going to be doing things. I'm still going to be here every single night. In fact, we're going to increase our airtime to 2 hours. But there is going to be a lot more content on the Word of God, on how we hide the Word in our heart in troubled times, and how the church can function underground, how the church in Western nations are going to change and survive and thrive in a time of persecution. Folks, this is a bizarre time. You know, yesterday in London, a dear old lady, 82 years old, working in her garden, in her backyard, was decapitated in London by a Muslim. The news media doesn't want to talk about it. The London papers have downplayed the Islamic connection. We're in an age when you're decapitated working in your garden. The spirits of murder and violence and persecution has been turned loose. And the church better wake up and realize what's happening. We're going to have to change everything. We're going to have to change the way we're doing things, how we're meeting, how we're gathering, how we're communicating with each other, how the gospel's being spread around the world. And that's why the Lord is changing this ministry. I hope you're part of it. We need your support. Donate to us at TrueNews.com or at PayPal using support@TrueNews.com. God bless. I'll see you on Monday.